The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today, a question about John 6:65, where Jesus asserts that no one comes to him unless the Father grants it. What is the meaning of this? Is this about Calvinism and election? Well, we have some thoughts about it, so stay with us as next we present Grace in Focus, the podcast and broadcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website is faithalone.org. We invite you to go there and find out more about us, see our resources and our activities. That's faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Welcome to another episode of Grace in Focus, and I'm Ken Yates.
And I'm Bob Wilkin.
I was going to introduce him as my boss. Hey, just for this one, can I be the boss?
You're the boss.
Okay,
you're
I'll be the boss. I'll be the jefe. Jefe Ken. We have and since I'm the jefe, I get to pick the question, and I pick this one because it's an outstanding one, and it is from GG, so we're going to call him G-squared.
G-squared.
Okay, G-squared wrote this question in about John 6:65, and in John 6:65, Jesus says at the end of that verse, well, I'll just read the whole verse, and he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." And so his question is, do we have free will? I guess we would say the unbeliever. Does the unbeliever have free will, or does God only enable certain people to believe? In other words, that God only draws, you know, if only those who come to Jesus. And I'll let Bob expand on this about that's basically a synonym for believe in him, unless God enables. So does God only pick certain people to believe?
No, and I think it's important to recognize in this verse, and I think we're also going to look at verse 44, which
yes,
is commonly cited by Calvinists.
Right.
In verse 55, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." He's alluding back to verse 44, but notice what's not said here. In verse 65, Jesus doesn't say what percentage of people are granted by the Father to come to Jesus. Does God grant everyone the opportunity to come to Jesus, or only some? And by the way, it's interesting, in John 5:39 and 40, Jesus uses the same language of coming to Jesus, and he said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But you are not willing to come to me," same language, "that you may have life." Notice, the issue there is not that God didn't grant them the opportunity to come. He did, but they were unwilling.
And this case in John 5, we're talking about the unbelieving Jews who hear him, who see him, they see his miracles. So obviously the Father is, we're going to get into John 6:54, drawing them by this evidence, whatever, but they're unwilling.
Right, and others were willing, like John 1:11, "He came to his own received him not." Those who were unwilling, "But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Those are the ones in Israel that were willing to come to him.
And so even those who believed and those who didn't believe were enabled. They were drawn,
right,
but some were unwilling to believe and some were not, which is G-Square's question, do we have the free will to believe?
Yeah, and what I would suggest to G-Squared is we do have free will, but believing is not a choice.
Right.
In other words, I don't choose to say, you know what, I'm going to choose to believe in democracy instead of communism. No, I either believe in democracy or communism because of the evidence I see. I don't say, you know what, I'm going to choose to believe the lights are on in this room. No, the evidence convinces me the lights are on in this room. I don't choose to believe that Jesus guarantees that whoever believes in him has everlasting life. The evidence persuades me of that. But if I'm unwilling to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who guarantees my eternal destiny, well, then that keeps me from faith. It's kind of like saying unbelief is a choice, but belief really isn't. Mm. So if a person is open, then the drawing of God will ultimately lead them to faith. If they're unwilling, the drawing of God will not lead them to faith. And maybe we should look at, what, 644 also?
Yeah, and I would like to talk about this verse because in the GES Journal, if I could put a plug in for it.
Since you're the editor.
I'm the editor. I'm the
you're
jefe.
Definitely the jefe on there.
In the autumn edition that's coming out this fall, there's an article on John 6:44 by a guy named Clark, and he writes about this. So, and it's obviously related to this question, because in John 6:44, Jesus says, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me," there's that phrase, "come to me," or we would say believe, "unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." And the article basically asked the question, well, what does it mean, draws? Unless the Father draws a person will not or cannot believe. The same question that you asked earlier, Bob, well, does that say how many he draws?
And you know, it doesn't.
Right. And the Calvinist, of course, or most Calvinists, will look at this and say, well, that's talking about the elect.
He's only drawing the elect.
He's only drawing the elect. And so, and if God draws the elect, then if you're of the elect, then you're going to believe. This article that's coming out, and I'd really encourage people to read it, basically what it says is the author of the article goes through all the places where this word occurs, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in other writings of the day. And what he points out is that the Calvinist says the drawing here is you don't have a choice, which goes to the question of G square. I have no free will. He draws me. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm the elect. God does it. But he points out that the word is used that way when it's talking about inanimate objects that have no, like when Peter draws his sword, the sword had no
volition
yeah. whatsoever. The sword was unwilling. The sword didn't it. But he points out.
Or when he dragged all the fish in John 21.
Exactly.
That's elkuo is the word. Right.
Right. Yeah. But he points out that when it is used for people who have free will, it is a wooing.
Or drawing. That word
drawing.
Is fine.
Yeah. Right. And so the drawing here is God draws people, like you said in John 5, even those who were unwilling to believe. He was drawing them by the miracles that Jesus was performing, but they were unwilling. It's not that they had no choice and people come kicking and screaming, no, 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 I don't want to believe. And so once again, we see that this is a drawing that people can either be willing to look at the evidence or not look at the evidence.
That's a good point. And in John 5, Jesus points to a number of different proofs that he's the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to the believer. He points to the works that he does. He points to the Father and the Spirit. He points to John the Baptist and what he says. And so he's pointing to various evidences. And all of those are ways in which God is drawing. In John 16, verses 9 to 11, where... Yeah,
talking about the Spirit.
The Spirit, yeah, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Right.
The world there is likely the same world as John 3:16. It's everyone. He's convicting everyone in the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's why you find people who've never heard a word about the Bible, but they know they're sinners. They know that there's a God. They know that God is righteous, and they believe in some coming judgment. They believe they're going to be judged according to their works. And so these kind of things seem to be embedded within all people. It's not like you need to convince people of these things. Now, I have heard people say, no, no, you've got to convince people they're sinners. You've got to convince people that God is righteous. You've got to convince people there's a coming judgment. Well, maybe, but I think a person would have to be very hardened not to believe they were a sinner.
Right. And in that passage in John 16:8, we see that it is the Spirit that is drawing the world. So when he says no one can come to me and believe unless the Father draws them, well, the Spirit is drawing everyone, and certainly everyone who hears the gospel, for example.
Right.
The Spirit is drawing them. So it's not like, oh, you're not of the elect, so I'm not going to draw you, or I'm not going to convict you of these things through this word that's being preached.
Well, not only that, we have the creation, which is sometimes called general revelation.
Exactly.
Romans 1 says that people are without excuse because God is revealed in the creation. And Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. Even a person who has not a word of the Bible has the revelation, the general revelation of nature. I was talking to, I think it was David Renfro on our show recently, and he said there was some tribal group that was just meditating on thumbs. And they were convinced that thumbs proved there was a creator. Because we have thumbs, and many primates don't.
What is it called? Like the retractable
digit? Opposable,
or, yeah,
I think.
Yeah, something like that. That there's a MASH episode that talks about that. Yeah.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, where he's explaining how marvelous the thumb is or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. Well, I also want to point out in John 6, verse 65, it's interesting to me that in verse 63, he talks about the Spirit. You know, so right before he talks about the Father enabling, he says it two verses earlier, it is the Spirit that gives life, and the words which I speak to you are Spirit. I've always found that interesting, that in this context, when he's talking about enabling, he's also talking about the Spirit. So to G Square's question, the enabling and drawing is something that God does to all people, and it is the work of the Spirit that's doing that. And it's not a, as the Calvinist says, you have no ability to look at the evidence or look at what the Spirit is revealing to you.
We don't have time to go into it, but we've talked about Cornelius before in Acts chapter 10, but he's clearly an unbeliever in light of Acts 11:14. He didn't come to faith until Peter preached to him. And yet his prayers and alms ascend to God, and he's called a devout man by Luke.
And it's obvious that the Spirit is working on him.
Spirit's right. Working on him. You see lots of examples of that. In fact, Paul said, Acts 17:27, that God has granted to the Gentiles that they might grope after God and indeed find him. And he says he's not far from all of us.
And he's seeking and he's drawing everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great question, G-Square. And go out, everybody, and get the journal, if nothing else, for this article that's coming out this fall.
Amen.
And
keep,
remember, grace in focus.
Would you like to deepen your understanding of Scripture and the Christian life? Well, a great place to start is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free materials on the site available for you. One of those, which is extremely popular, is our magazine, Grace in Focus. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color, easy to read, and people are really growing who read it. So stop by and get a free subscription at faithalone.org. On the next episode of Grace in Focus, what is the New Testament gift of prophecy? Is God currently giving special revelation through present-day prophets? Please plan to join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.